Welcome to the Dual Shocker Shotcast. You're listening to episode 140. We are in the fallout of Gamescom. PAX Prime is right on the horizon. And Final Fantasy XIV just came out. So we definitely have a few things to talk about on the show. I'm David Rodriguez, the host for this episode. I'm being joined by Giuseppe Nelva.
Hello, everyone.
Joel Tavares.
Hola.
Okay, there he is. Jorge Jimenez.
Greetings, loved ones.
And a newcomer to the show, Ryan, is it Meitzler? Meitzler?
Yep.
Ryan Meitzler. All right.
Hello.
Jorge, you've got the new releases for us?
Yes, I do. For the week of August 25th, 2013 to September 1st, 2013, we have new Super Luigi U.
Yeah,
Year of the Luigi standalone retail version.
Wow. Oh,
I was gonna say, I thought that came out like several months ago.
Fuck that game. That game is hard.
It's hard or horrible?
No, the game's actually hard. Like, seriously, that game was hard. Yeah. Like, I had to review it, and the game was really hard. Like,
did you try with the invulnerable character?
What are you talking about? He looks like you, Giuseppe.
Oh,
I was waiting for that.
Someone had to go there eventually.
Well, let's say that it's hard for you.
Oh, he said you ain't shit.
Oh, all right. Next we have Pixel Junk Monsters Ultimate on the PC.
Really?
Meh. Next we have Final Fantasy 14 or Realm Reborn. Did I get that right?
Yes.
My Roman numerals? Just checking. On the PS3 and the PC. We also have Lost Planet 3 on the 360, PS3,
you know what's funny?
And PC.
Everyone forgot that game's coming out. I think everyone forgot that game was a thing.
I forget as well. Yeah.
I got my review copy today, and I was like, alright, that's a game.
I honestly thought it came out like last month.
I saw reviews out for it, and I was like, really? Like, that's out this week? Like, I didn't even know it was out.
It looks like Joel from Last of Us is on the cover freezing his ass off.
A little bit.
Well, he's a redhead. I saw that launch trailer, and I'm like, he's very redheaded.
Okay.
That's weird.
Yeah. next we have Killer is Dead on the Xbox 360 and PS3.
Yeah.
If the killer is dead, though, I mean, isn't it problem solved? Like, that's it. That's it. We're done.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, but it's a Suda 51 game, so no, obviously.
Right. Nothing makes sense. Okay.
Next, we have Spelunky on the PlayStation 3 and the Vita. Awesome game. You should get it. Next, we have something in Japanese, which I'm going to butcher pronouncing, but I'm going to try. Hatsune Miku, Project Diva F. Did I get it?
Yeah, that
sounds about right to me.
Nice. Yeah. All right. That's on the PS3. I have no idea what that game is about. Next, we have... Next, we have Madden NFL 25. That also was a surprise. I totally forgot it's the end of August, and that game does come out every year. And that's on Xbox 360 and PS3. We also have Sweet Fuse at Your Side on the PSP. Surprised that they're still making PSP games.
I want to dress up as that pig in the background.
That's the most, like, wiki game ever.
That pig with the cigar is pretty badass.
That's just flag right there.
Yes.
Yeah. Next, we have Real Boxing on the PlayStation Vita. Is it real boxing or not, like, Real Boxing?
I think it's just real.
Okay, could be, like, a European game. We also have Castlevania Lords of Shadow Ultimate Edition available on Steam. So, more Dracula. Yeah. Floating Cloud God Saves the Pilgrims HD on the PlayStation Vita.
Ooh.
Wow.
The HD Adventures of Rotating Octopus Character, PlayStation Vita.
What the fuck? I'm sorry, it's just...
Might be the strangest 12 words I've ever said together in my life.
And they just had to put HD in there to clarify.
Yeah. next we have a PS2 classic, Crimson C2. No one? All right.
No, nothing.
Nope.
Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles Out of the Shadows on Xbox Live, PC, and PlayStation Network.
Who's reviewing this for the site?
Wait, somebody is reviewing this? I didn't know that.
do we not like someone that much to have them review Ninja Turtles?
No, the game actually, no, honestly, the game does Moving look on. Good, though. I saw the trailer. It looks pretty
good. Yeah, that's what it, yeah. It looks good. Yeah. Yeah.
We've got Shelter on PC.
I know. Yeah. So,
we also have SimCity on Mac. So there you go, Mac users.
Yay.
Oh, it'll actually work today.
People still use those?
I hate you.
Mac users are people too, Giuseppe, right?
Really?
Yes.
Surprising. Okay. Pokemon fans, we have Pokemon Rumble U on the Wii U. Okay. And then Mac users, it's your day. We have BioShock Infinite.
Yay.
All right.
Yay.
We also have Guardians of Middle-Earth on the PC, which I thought was a game already.
It was. I'm very confused. No, Battle for Middle-Earth, I think.
Oh, okay. So this is Guardians of Middle-Earth. It looks like... is this the MOBA?
I think so, yeah. I'm pretty sure this is the MOBA.
Oh, I have no interest in that. We also have Memoria on the PC. Point-and-click fantasy adventure game.
Sounds like an Italian game, Memoria.
Pretty much. And then, finally, to round off the new releases, we have The Legend of Zelda on the Wii U.
If it's not a gold cartridge, take it back.
Joel, what do you pick? That's your pick?
Okay.
Silence. Just staring at the wall.
I don't know. I'm
Luigi?
Good. I'll pass this week.
You gonna pass?
Oh, fuck Luigi.
Jorge, what do you think?
I guess I'm stuck with Lost Planet because I'm the one reviewing it, so Lost Planet, yay.
Ryan.
I actually did check out the trailer for Shelter the other day, and it actually looks kind of cool. So I might pick that up and play that, but I guess I'll wait and see. I got some other stuff I'm playing, so.
Alright. Giuseppe, do you have a pick?
Well, I have to play to pick Final Fantasy XIV for sure, but there are quite a few good ones this week.
Yeah.
Like Kirby's Dad is good, Atsune Miku is good, and also Switch Fuse is pretty interesting because you basically play the niece of Kenji Inafune, and you have to save him from like terrorists in an amusement park. So right. It's a pretty funny game. It's a game for girls mostly. It's an otome game, like a dating game for girls. Just the fact that you play the niece of Kenji Inafune, it's like golden.
I think I have dreams like that where I have to save.
You have weird dreams.
Yeah, well, I'm a weird guy.
Okay, let's move on.
I'm going to go with...
what? You get a pick?
Really?
Yeah, I'm going to pick. I'll go with Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles. Because why not? The trailer looks like... It looks like a lot of fun. Just, you know. It reminded me of the original arcade game from back in the day.
Isn't that an Activision game?
I don't know.
I thought we weren't allowed to pick Activision games.
Says who?
Me?
Why are we allowed to pick Activision?
Just because I say so. Because everyone hates them, so...
We're on an anti-Bobby Kotick stance.
Somebody's very upset right now.
I don't know. And alright, well...
He's not bitter about not playing Titanfall at all.
That's... Wait, what?
Oh, I'm bugging out. That's EA. Never mind.
I'm like, wait a minute. But yeah, speaking of which, Giuseppe, you were at Cologne, Germany for Gamescom. Germany for Gamescom. So take it away, man.
So it was a pretty interesting Gamescom this year. Well, of course, with the PS4 and Xbox One starting the whole show, you got inside the thing and you were... You basically found like an immense like sign on the wall with the two things. The console word was basically the whole theme of the whole event. It was pretty interesting. There is a funny anecdote. The one that organized the show probably hate journalists. I don't know why. Probably I don't know. Probably some his wife cheated him with a journalist or something like that. Because that's pretty interesting, because the you can imagine that Gamescom is pretty much bigger than E3 as extension. Mm-hmm. So it's a big hallway with 11 halls on the two sides of the hallways that goes basically for like 2 miles or something like that. And it goes from south to north. And the business side, the business area is like halls 4 and 5 on the left, and it's where all the journalists go, right? Where all the journalists, the buyers, and all the business people go. You'd think that they put the press room near that place, right?
Of course not.
No. They put it on, and this is on the south side. They put it on the north side, basically on the other extremity. So you basically had to walk from one side to the other, like 2 miles, through the entertainment area, through the most stupid bottleneck ever, because there is in the middle of the hallway where everyone has to go, there is an escalator, a couple of escalators. One goes up, one goes down, with two people as a cross, basically. And and of course there is visitors as well. They are not press. There is millions of them. And they are all like packed into those escalators while you try to go to the.
That reminds me of the Javits Center here in New York. It's a similar thing. The press room is downstairs, and the only way to get upstairs is escalators, and the hallways are narrow and packed. It's fucking ridiculous.
Yeah, really. Like seriously. Whoever organizes Gamescom next year, please put the press room near the business section of the whole thing, because really. I can't have appointments back to back and have to waste half an hour to go to the press room, really. But anyway, this little anecdote aside, it was pretty interesting. I got to try PS4. I got to try the Xbox One. The PS4's controller is the best thing ever. Like, I don't think I ever tried a tighter gamepad controller. The Xbox One is pretty good as well. It's pretty good competition. Like,
so you notice the difference? Because when I tried the PS4 controller, I didn't really notice totally, the difference.
You definitely notice the difference. Like, the triggers are a lot stiffer, and they don't let your fingers slide like they did in with the DualShock 3. Mm-hmm. The sticks are a lot tighter, and they have basically no dead zone. So basically, whenever you move them, you immediately have a reaction.
Response, yeah.
Yeah, well, the DualShock 3 definitely has a lot of dead zone.
I've heard it's a little bigger too, right, compared to the DualShock 3?
I didn't really notice that difference, to be honest.
No, it's not that big of a difference.
Pretty much the same, yeah. The Xbox One is pretty good. Is a pretty good had as well. They are pretty much almost on par. I would say that the DualShock 4 wins by a narrow margin there, but it's because they're really up. They're really bottom, really really improved. And I got to try quite a lot of great games. The overall winner for me is The Witcher 3, though. Witcher 3 is like the best thing invented since Nutella. Well, I guess like the beer. The beer kind of helped, because when we got into the little cinema room that they had at the CD Projekt,
they had a little bar
stand. Now, well, everyone had a bar.
Okay.
Every single medium size to big size stand as at a bar, but they just had a fridge at the CD Projekt stand, but it was full of beer.
Nice.
Basically, what they did, it was the last presentation of the day, so everyone got inside this little room where we had to have the presentation for the game, and there, I think, was a marketing manager or something like that, or probably one of the designers, comes in with a big bucket of beers, says, "Ali, it's the last presentation of the game, let's get drunk." So everyone got a couple of beers and started drinking like sailors while they were playing the game. Even the guy doing the presentation, in fact, they had some of this. He gets into the water, And he say, "We have a nice bug here. We can swim only in one direction." So basically, he went into the water. He couldn't come back out because he couldn't swim in backwards, or he couldn't turn around. So he had to reset the game. And it was pretty funny. Yep. But still, the game was absolutely astonishing. Another one that was really, really good was Watch Dogs.
And that one was hands-on for you, right?
Yeah, okay. That was absolutely fantastic, especially, it's basically Demon Souls,
really?
But you don't kill people, you just hack them. There was a little game, spy something, in which you had to spy a room in which you had to discover the spy. It was another player that was behaving, like trying to behave like a...
That's like they try to like sabotage your game, right? And
yeah, exactly.
Oh, okay, yeah, yeah.
Basically, they come into your game like in Demon Souls, but you have to you don't try to kill the other player. You try to hack him, and the player that's getting hacked has to discover who you are, and you're disguised as a NPC. So you have to basically behave like either hide or behave like an NPC. And that's pretty challenging. Like, I discovered a guy that was trying to hack me because he bumped into a bench or something like that, right?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
Dummy.
And, well, on the other hand, I hid in a hallway, in an alley, and he didn't manage to discover me, but it was, like, pretty close to do that, even because it's full of cameras.
Were you playing against developers or against just other people that were there?
It depends. You don't really know because it was full of people.
Oh, okay.
So you don't really know if it was a developer or someone else, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And so that was pretty exciting. It was pretty clever. Also, that kind of highlighted DualShock 4 for me because I got to drive, like in Grand Theft Auto style, and it was a lot better than driving in Grand Theft Auto with a DualShock 3. What else? Another interesting one was Eve Valkyrie, basically a spin-off of Eve Online with the Oculus Rift. The first rigs of the Oculus Rift in HD, in which I basically demolished an other journalist without any mercy, something like that.
All right.
At this kind of event, you notice that many journalists are really gamers. Like,
they all suck.
They're really bad.
They all suck.
Really, you go into this demonstration three against three, so six journalists, and you have to shoot down each other, right? There was the score at the end. My score 430, then 0-0-0-0-0.
Wow.
Because I got three of them, and the other didn't get anything.
Yeah, no, they're fucking terrible. Like at E3, seriously, when I start shaking when I get into a booth and it's like a multiplayer game because I just I'm gonna unload on these guys. They have no idea what's about to happen. And they're gonna say that the game's terrible in their preview because I'm gonna wreck them. I'm like the boogeyman again.
Well, I have to say though that there was a great guy that I don't know who it was, but he did a great performance at Just Dance, at the new Just Dance. Like that he really performed. Like I managed to skip that one. Luckily, they looked at me first, and I was sorry. I have to film. I didn't really film, but you know,
like I'm not gonna get embarrassed by this guy.
Really, no, that guy was really into it, and we also tried. It was the same presentation. We also tried the new Kinect. Fighting game by Ubisoft.
Oh, The Fighter Within.
Yeah. In which I basically demolished another journalist that was like flailing around like a madman. There were still kind of lag, you know?
Yeah, I was going to say, they said it's like it's one-to-one fighting. Did you feel like on screen, no. You're... No, okay.
No.
That kind of sucks.
Like, no. Not even close. I don't know if it was Kinect's fault, because that's actually the only Kinect game I tried. Yeah. So I can't really gauge if it was just a game that wasn't really well set, or it was just in development, or it was Kinect. But it was quite a lot of lag, and I don't know. What was very impressive is the new Rocksmith as well. That they really improved the experience and everything. They also told me that they may actually have new instruments from the next chapter. He actually pulled out a pretty interesting, like, analogy. They say that Rocksmith 1, the first Rocksmith was like their Assassin's Creed 1. Rocksmith 2014 is their Assassin's Creed 2. And maybe in the next Rocksmith, they'll have pirate instruments. So it was pretty interesting. Let me see what else was interesting. Well, the Barrett Cox Media... The Barrett Cox Media booth was one of the highlights as well. Basically, they had an immense booth because basically the hosts, they had everyone. They are a big publisher in Europe, so they had basically Square Enix, they had InXile, they had a lot of people, Deep Silver, and it was one of the biggest booths. And they had like a bar that was as big as a normal stand inside the booth, in the middle of the booth. And basically, since they made food free food at every hour, it was like all the time full of journalists that went then to just to eat.
Basically, E3 needs to step their game up because
yeah, like really, no, seriously, like it, no, I think like
there's 90 meals in the press room. A lot of people don't know that about E3.
Yeah, but those free meals go in like 15 minutes, and I mean, come on, they're not that good.
No, these guys were there. They had like four cooks. They had like four cooks, like pulling out sandwiches out of the thingy to heat up the sandwiches. Basically, I don't know how you call it in English, like the thing that presses them and heats them up. Sorry,
is it a panini?
That sounds like yeah, it does. Sounds like a panini.
Like a panini press.
Yeah. Basically, what they like pulled out whole trays of sandwiches like every 5 minutes, and there were like people that came out from the famine, from like starving journalists like sieging them up, and it was a pretty funny thing because I think like 90% of the journalists in that, like 10% of the journalists in that booth at all time were there to actually having interviews or to cover stuff, and 90% were there to eat and to drink on Cox Media's tab. It was pretty fun. All
right.
Then, let's see, Rise was pretty impressive, definitely. I was, after the E3's presentation, I was pretty...
we're all a little
not
skeptical
very enthusiastic about
it.
Yeah, I was skeptical, but they really improved it a ton. And the multiplayer aspect, which is actually cooperative, because there is score. You have to compete in score with the other player. But it's really, really impressive, not just in graphics, but also the gameplay is really good. The only thing that's kind of iffy is the microtransaction thingy that they have, but it's gated by XP, so you still have to play the game to achieve most of the things, but yeah, the whole game, the game itself was pretty impressive.
How are the Forza? Is there a lot of QuickTime events, or
no.
Was that just like
there was none inside
the trailer? Okay,
yeah, there was none inside really. It doesn't really play like QuickTime events anymore.
Okay. What would you say it plays like?
Most of
that's good.
Sorry, it plays more like a Demon's Souls meets God of War.
Okay.
So it's really interesting, and actually, they were very, very. I actually got a very good presentation because I got there I got a slot that was just me and Brian Crescente from Polygon. Mm-hmm. So like when you go in with some of those big journalists, they don't really hurry you. So we basically like kill them with questions all the time about all the microtransaction things, and they were pretty much under siege all the time about that, and for like 40 minutes we went over time like by 20 minutes or something like that.
Were you like stroking his hair as you were asking these questions?
No.
I have to ask, Jeffrey. Come on, it's like a it's a beautiful set of locks the guy has on his head.
Oh yeah, Crescendo is one of the journalists I respect the most. But you know, I didn't go as far as stroking hair or something like that. I don't think that would be
next year.
Appropriate. I'm not sure. The guy really types really, really fast, though. Like, I was recording stuff, and he was there with a laptop, and was like, my God.
Well, because he's not human, probably.
Yeah, maybe he was using his type as well. Forza 4 was another very... Forza 4, 5, sorry. 5, was another very, very, very interesting presentation. They did some really interesting stuff with the physics. We have a recording of the presentation on the side, because that's one of the few that they actually let me record, and they didn't tell me, don't upload it, please. So since they didn't tell me anything. But that was a really, really interesting presentation. You can say what you want about Dan Greenwald. A lot of people hate him because he can be a little bit boastful, but he is really passionate about what he does, and he was really passionate about making a good simulator. So I'm really
without Kinect.
Playable without Kinect.
Yeah.
And actually, he had I was surprised because he was presenting the game without using Kinect at all in front of a Microsoft representative. I was expecting them to push it instead, you know. And he actually answered my question. I expected the Microsoft representative was there to like eat me alive when I asked it. But no, that didn't happen.
How many times did they say Dravatar?
Not many. Couple. Two or three. The interesting thing about the Dravatars is that it's more the Dravatar, the matchmaking. You basically get you have they theoretically have a matchmaking thing that gauges your attitude, so you get matched with people that have pretty much the same attitude. So I remember Greenwald did say something about that you don't get to play it with the cheats and the jerks unless you're a cheater and jerk yourself. Then you're gonna play them all the time, which is good for me. The only thing I have a little bit of I wonder if is how they'll manage to distinguish between the cheats and jerks and just the newbies that don't know how to drive, you know?
The power of the cloud, that's how.
It's very easy to, when you play a racing game online, to behave like a jerk without really doing it on purpose. Like all the most noobish and usual mistake newbies do, at the first corner, they don't brake. So if they are at the back of the pack, they ram into the guy in front of them, which rams into the guy in front of him, and so it's a big hoopla and the race is ruined. But they really don't do it on purpose. You know, they do it because they can't really gauge when they have to brake. So I'm interested to see how they'll manage to distinguish between that, if they'll manage. Because honestly, if the newbies are going to be matched with the cheating jerks all the time, I'm not sure how they're going to manage to learn how to drive clean, you know? But we'll see. Let me see if there is anything else that was interesting. It was a lot of things that was interesting, but
we had your career crowning moment, Giuseppe.
Oh yeah, I had a couple of them with interviewing developers that I respect a lot. One is Naoki Yoshida from Final Fantasy XIV, which really, I don't think I ever met a guy that cares about this game more than he does. Like today he cried in a live stream in front of everyone.
I would argue that Phil Fish cares about his game a little bit more.
You mean the guy that quit the gaming industry?
I'm joking, Giuseppe.
No, you know, the guy was really passionate and was really, you know, available and nice and to respond my questions and everything. Like, even, you know, harsh questions. Something that, you know... but one thing that's interesting about him is that he totally understands English. But he uses a translator, you know? But he totally understands English, and you notice that understood what you said.
It's a cultural thing.
It's not a cultural thing. It's a trick. It's
no,
like,
no, no, no. So a lot of it, oh, go ahead.
They give him time to think about the response. You know.
No, when no.
Waits for the translation.
No, I was gonna say it was like the Japanese baseball players in the States. A lot of them can speak English, but they choose not to because they don't want to come off. They know that they have an accent. But they're uncomfortable. They want you to not know that.
Well, yeah, that's
you know,
true, probably.
The pronunciation and stuff like that. It's like a pride thing.
Well, yeah, it can't be worse than mine. Anyway, yeah, it was really a good experience because he's basically one of the developers that I respect the most for many reasons. One, that he jumped into a game that was a total failure, and that could have, you know, totally ruined his career if he failed.
Yeah.
But you know, that's something not many would have dared to do, because if you start from where he started, he steered around in three years, and now it's a great game.
Started from the bottom. Now we're here. No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Yeah, now he is one of the most well known and respected Japanese developers in the U.S. I mean, in the West, and deservedly so. Another really satisfying moment is when I interviewed Chris Roberts, which is the legend of the legends for me. I grew up with Wing Commander, so, and Easter Citizen is doing awesome. He shown us the Anger module from Star Citizen, which is basically all the backers, like on Tuesday, so in 2 days, are going to be able to download the Anger module for the game, which is basically Anger, in which you can walk around and jump into the ships you pledge for the game, and my God, it looks impressive. Like ships that are like 1.5 million polygons, they are like, yeah. If you have a lot of ships, you'll have to turn your graphics down because it looks really awesome. Like really, 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 really awesome. Yeah, it's in CryEngine. It actually looks a lot like Crysis 3 as graphics, like in the way it's rendered.
Except in space.
Yeah, in space. The best Anger actually is a car you can drive in it, which, how cool is that? let me see. Oh, I trade Warface, which is interesting because I didn't have much expectation about that.
Because the title's so dumb,
but it's actually pretty good game in itself. Like for a free to play game, it's comparable with many AEA shooters. I'm bad at shooters, but you know I was pretty impressed about it. Another shooter that impressed me, and I didn't expect it to, Wolfenstein: The New Order. I didn't play much of it, but what I played was interesting.
Did they say when that's coming out? Because they just delayed it, right?
Sorry?
Did they say when that's coming out?
No, they didn't.
Oh, okay.
But it was really impressive. There was this initial setup in which you were basically climbing a big castle wall, and you were shooting at Nazis from the windows, and it was very impressive. It was like B-17 like crashing into the walls right in front of you, like a lot of it was really nice, and it played really nice. The weapons were at weight, like you couldn't really shoot and move your weapon too much, because when you shoot with a machine gun, it's hard to actually change the aim while you're shooting, so you had to like stop shooting to start aiming, right? And it was pretty interesting how they set up everything, and I think that game is a pretty. We'll have to see how it progresses, but what I saw was pretty impressive.
Okay.
Tried the Elder Scrolls Online, which was also pretty impressive. Not so much visually. It has some way to go. Visually, and they say they are improving it. The animations were really stiff, and the textures weren't that great. But gameplay-wise, they actually improved a lot on the usual Elder Scroll combat mechanics. It was like a very interesting thing when you parried a special attack by a monster, the monster got stunned, and you could take advantage of it if you had timing and like deliver a stronger blow. It was pretty interesting. There was a lot of lore like hidden around, like a lot of books to read. And those close fans are going to have fun with that. I'm one, no, so I love
reading.
It.
What's that?
Well, yeah, Elder Scrolls fans love reading. Like, every Elder Scrolls game has a ton of books to read around, and you can just pick them up and read them.
We love our lore, man. We love our lore.
And
how much of that game actually played like a Skyrim, as opposed to...
Actually, it played quite a bit like Skyrim. Like... It's action based. You have to aim like Skyrim. You have to pretty much like play like Skyrim, but it has more weight into the attacks. Like Skyrim doesn't have any weight into the attacks, which is basically what I dislike the most about it. That one has more weight, and it has this reaction system that makes it a little bit more complex. And the combat is definitely better than Skyrim. But it's still pretty much the same action-based, eye-aiming-based mechanic that you have in Skyrim, just improved quite a bit. The last one that really impressed me quite a bit.
Oh yeah,
subscription-based, right. Which is pretty interesting because we're going to have three new subscription-based games. Which is Final Fantasy XIV that came out like today. We're gonna have Elder Scrolls Online Wildstar as well. So it looks like there is a resurgence of a subscription-based game, which I'm happy about, because I'm really not the kind of guy that appreciates free-to-play games too much. So I really hope they manage to keep the subscription model. And the other one that was pretty impressive MMORPG wise, last one probably, because I'm going to put it blank, was EverQuest Next, which we didn't see much more than the presentation that they gave at the unveiling of the game, but they shown some quite interesting things to do with EverQuest Landmark, which is the semi-MMORPG that's coming out before EverQuest Next, and which is basically Minecraft with voxels. So basically you can build up everything you want with these tiny particles. Instead of having the blocks in Minecraft, you have these tiny particles that let you build everything. It looks a lot better than Minecraft. And what we saw about that was really impressive. You could really build a lot of interesting buildings without in like matters of like half an hour or so. You basically paint them up. You have a paintbrush that lets you model lets you basically place the voxels, and then you have another paintbrush that lets you smooth them out, and it's really, really interesting. And they actually have this studio thingy that lets you actually sell your creations for real money, so people are actually going to have a little bit of an economy there. The good people are probably going to make a nice game with that.
And what would your
game
show? Be? Yeah.
That's difficult. That's difficult. Probably between the games that I actually tried. Sorry. The thing is, they actually tried probably Watch Dogs.
Okay.
Watch Dogs and EverQuest Next are the two different, totally different games. Oh, also, sorry, one another that I was forgetting, Second Son, Infamous Second Son, that was really impressive as well, especially with the DualShock 4 controls that they've shown. They were pretty interesting. Some of them are kind of gimmicky, but the whole gameplay was really, really, like, looked really, really tight. It wasn't a hands-on presentation. It was hands-off. But it was really tight from what we saw.
Yeah.
Oh,
there's any game course, buy
The Witcher 3.
PS4, that's it.
The Witcher 3. It. Sorry?
Oh, no, I was just going to say, if there was any game that makes me buy a PS4, I think Infamous would be the one. Infamous looks awesome.
Yeah, it looks great. But
yeah, for me, it was the indie stuff that they were showing, especially during their conferences. I know we talked about it last week, but that's still what's driving me towards the PS4 right now.
For me, it's difficult to be like. For me, indie games are never a console buyer, like a console seller, because most of them are on PC. So you know, the most indie games that you see are on PC. So you know, it's not really worth to buy a console for indie games, according to me, because if you have a decent PC, even like a decent laptop, you'll be able to play most, you know, most indie games on that one.
All right.
That's pretty much it.
What was your show disappointment? What did you watch and then leave like, oh Christ, like?
I know a lot of people will hate me for that.
Don't say Battlefield. Don't say not stupid shit. Just happy.
No, South Park. South Park: The Stick of Truth.
What?
Oh, really?
It was. That's probably just because the presentation wasn't that great. Because it was really an hands-off presentation with, like, it was more of a cartoon than a game. A lot of it was not interactive. Like, the game, the action gets interrupted a lot by non-interactive sex sequences. So I'm not sure I'd enjoy that. I don't dislike cutscenes, but when it's all the time, it gets kind of annoying. I understand that it's a game that is based on a cartoon, okay? But still, you know, I don't know.
I'm surprised that they're still showing it hands-off when it comes out in 3 months.
Seriously.
I understood it being hands-off at E3, but in August, it's still hands-off. It's a little weird.
I don't know. They like, what we saw wasn't very impressive. Well, there was some small stuff like Panzer General Online. It was really the most impressive thing I ever seen. Like Panzer General is a big franchise with big maps in which you have super strategy. They turn into a basically a card / chess game. That's oh my god, that make me think about it.
you don't have to. It's fine.
Yeah, it was like really. I watched it out of pity for the guy because basically they had a presentation together with Might and Magic 10, which was pretty interesting instead for people that like that kind of dungeon crawling game. And when they finished the presentation for Might and Magic 10, everyone left. And it was the time for Panzer General Online. Everyone left. I was left alone there. Anyone is staying? Yeah, I'm staying.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah, I was like, yeah. I'll stay for you. But yeah, you know, I wasn't very impressed by the game. Maybe it'd be better actually playing it. It wasn't hands off as well. It wasn't hands off. It was a movie. Like the guy was posing a video. And you know, explaining it while the video went on, it wasn't.
That's the worst.
In real time, so I was like, Ubisoft, come on! I have to say that Ubisoft show impressed me with other things. So you know.
Yeah. No, of course. Watch.
Also, their bar wasn't that bad. They also had a bar, of course.
The fact that they all had bars really just disappoints me now about E3.
Why?
No, it's just because I wish they had that at E3. So many times I'm like, I just need a drink.
Everyone had a bar. Yeah. Like,
well, Activision has a bar at E3, but it's behind closed doors. But you can get to it if you got an appointment.
Yes, and I did go there this year, and it was fucking amazing.
No, the bar at Koch Media was the best because they actually had VIP passes that they gave out, like, breadcrumbs. And with the VIP pass, you could go inside and drink and eat whenever you wanted, even if you didn't have an appointment. Oh, I saw Wasteland as well, which is Wasteland 2, sorry, which is the Kickstarter sequel of Wasteland. That was really impressive for a Kickstarter game as well.
I have a question. Wasteland in a meeting room or a booth?
It was in the Koch Media booth. Where I also saw the new pandemic, Dead Island pandemic.
But they didn't have their own booth, right?
No, they didn't.
Okay, because that would piss me off. Like, if I was a backer, right, I'm supporting this game, and this game has to get off the ground. It has X amount of money. If they were out like buying booths and shows, I'd be like, "Whoa, whoa, whoa! I thought you motherfuckers were broke."
No, absolutely, absolutely. They were in the Koch Media booth because Koch Media is actually publishing them for Europe.
Gotcha. Okay.
So yeah, they didn't spend money on the booth. And actually, they were doing a pretty good job with not much in the booth because they had just a screen and chairs. That's it. So don't worry about that. I don't think much money went into it, if at all. But in the end, you know, they with Kickstarter, a little bit of money has to go into promotion and that kind of thing.
No, I get that. I know, but I'm saying, because you know how expensive those booths are. Like,
definitely. No, they didn't buy a booth on their own. Definitely. Absolutely. That's it, pretty much. Yeah.
Right.
In the end, I would say games of show are EverQuest next, Witcher 3,
Watch Dogs,
and also Forza 5. Definitely. Right. I was pretty impressed by their physics job. I think it's not a simulator, but simulation guys are going to be pretty impressed by how much that side of the game has improved.
That's nice.
That's pretty much it.
All right, we're gonna move on from Gamescom. Joel, I mean, okay, here's the thing. I had a whole like itinerary for this show.
I told you, Joel.
But yeah, because Joel, Giuseppe knows what I'm about to get into.
Go ahead. I'm here.
Joel wrote because I didn't know you were gonna be on tonight.
Thou without sin, cast the first stone.
Joel wrote an editorial on the site about something that we were berating him about. I don't know when the last podcast was where he talked about traded away his Vita and he bought a tablet. How's that working out for you, Joel?
Like I said in the post, listen, the tablet is really nice. And the new one is even nicer. So I ended up giving last year's model to my dad and upgraded to the new one. But, you know, last year decisions were made. Let's put it that way. At the time, the biggest game that was out that had just come out for the Vita was Gravity Rush. I wasn't really interested. And games that I did play were, like, putting a bad taste in my mouth because I didn't see, you know, a dramatic difference from PSP. I didn't see a dramatic difference from stuff that was available on phones at the time, on tablets at the time. There was you know, Sony-based IPs and stuff like that, but nothing really mind-blowing. I played Resistance, and it was probably the worst thing I've ever played in my life.
Oh, yeah.
And it happened to be on the Vita, and I was like, all right, this is really...
Joel?
Really what?
You died.
Left us hanging, man.
Really what?
It was frustrating. Wait, I mean, a year ago.
I think Resistance killed him.
Yeah.
Can you hear me? Am I back?
We lost you after Resistance. Like it was the biggest cliffhanger ever.
I'm sorry. So yeah, no. Resistance was terrible.
Yeah.
Right. So from then on, it was just like, all right, what's coming out that I need to keep this right now? Because at that point, it felt like there was nothing. It was a wasteland. And Giuseppe and Chad and everyone was like, well, just wait. And I wasn't in the mood to wait, so the decisions were made. Now, post Gamescom, obviously, I regret those decisions. I mean, in essence,
do you regret it enough to buy a Vita again, though? Like, is that the whole point? Like, you're gonna pick one up soon?
I'm picking one up this week, Dave.
Are you not allowed? I mean, how bad of terms did we break up with this Vita?
No. We're gonna reconcile. We're gonna make babies sometime this week. But No, it was... I mean, here's the thing. With Gamescom, you got to look at what the Vita just became. It literally became the best... The go-to, in my opinion, and we can argue about this on the show right now, Giuseppe, I know you're ready, but the Vita became the go-to peripheral that you pick up with a PS4, bar none.
It's definitely a lot more mobile than the fucking Wii U gamepad. And...
You're tethered to the Wii U.
If you have if you don't have a lot of people that come over to play like co-op games, stuff like that, or maybe your wife is terrible at video games like mine is, then you know what? You say, you know what? I'm not going to spend $70 on a controller, and you put that towards a Vita. The Vita is the best thing that you can buy right now for your PS4. You don't need a second controller. Just buy a Vita.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's really the peripheral to get. So, ironically, you know, it's like we made a big deal about Microsoft coming in at $500, but to get that real PS4 experience, your ass is spending $600. Tell you right now.
But come on. don't be silly.
I'm not being silly.
You are. You are, because you totally don't need a Vita to have the real PS4 experience.
I'm not saying you need it. I'm not saying you need it. But you'd be selling yourself short.
Oh, come on. That's not even close to true.
Okay. Yeah.
That's an accessory. Nothing more, nothing less.
I think the question is, what makes it such a necessity at this point?
Because in Gran Turismo, you can use the Vita as your rear view. Oh, no, wait, that's the wrong system, right?
Wow. It's a nice have.
It's a luxurious add-on, all right? It is. It is. But yeah, you know what?
It is by no means necessary or even, you know.
I know, but people that were living
I wouldn't even tell someone told me, oh, do I have to buy one? No, not even close.
We know you don't have to buy one. I'm just putting that extra sense of urgency. What I'm saying is, when it all comes out and the ability to literally play your PS4 from anywhere you are. You're talking about, I can go to E3, let's say I have a game I have to review, I can be in the hotel on Wi-Fi, turn on my PS4 back at home, and review that game.
The funny thing is it's today's news that you don't even need a TV attached to the PS4.
Yeah.
The PS4 just to be...
Your PS4 can be there by itself.
It can be in a fucking closet for all I care. as long as there's an outlet in the closet and there's Wi-Fi, we're good. Like I think that's an amazing thing.
Yeah, that's interesting, but you know,
I mean, that alone should move units. You
actually,
know?
With the Wii U, do you actually have the Wii U attached to a TV to play it?
No, you don't. You know.
You don't. So
Crescente,
it's the same.
Crescente actually made a post, or was it? No, it was Satillo made a post to Kotaku that he was sitting in an airport, he was delayed. And he just whipped out his Wii U, plugged it into the wall, and that's how he was reviewing a game at the airport. So, you know, I think it's a convenient... But with the Wii U, you have to have the Wii U near you. With the PS4, you don't.
Of course.
Yeah. Right? So that kind of changes things. I think it's a very special...
Well, that will depend a lot on the quality of the internet you have, though, because that's probably gonna be a good thing for the US that you guys have a lot of hotspots and good wireless internet out there.
Right.
Here it's not going to be that much of a big thing.
Right. Well, that's what I say. I mean we're fortunate enough here that the internet.
If you are like at Gamescom where you have to pay €170 for wireless.
That's absurd.
Yeah,
you might as well spend that money on a Vita, baby.
I'm totally not going to buy it. I'm not going to buy it. What I'm saying to you is that, yeah, sure.
Well, I'm just hoping that the rumors about the PS4 and Vita bundle turn out to be true. The ones they mentioned like earlier in the month.
That's very possible. They would be silly not to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah. At this point now, it's just like the writing's on the wall. Sony, just give people what they want, because this is obviously. Again, they don't have to manufacture too many of those bundles, but there's going to be a market out there that knows what the functionality is, that maybe they didn't jump on the Vita, and now they're going to be like, wait a minute, this is basically an extension of what I have at home. I need this in my life.
Yeah, and plus, yeah. I feel like it would probably help out the Vita, too, just because developers would be more inclined to, you know, actually develop for it if everyone has it, as opposed to just, you know, with the PS4.
That's the beauty of the whole situation, is that you move more units. Now, as soon as people see a bigger install base, now all of a sudden, like you said, you know, those developers that may have looked over the console are going to be coming back. But yeah, no, it was back to the post thing. I mean, it was a combination of that. It was a combination of newer titles coming out, the indie game push, which is sometimes you just want to play something different.
Yeah,
and you don't want
exactly.
And you don't want to pay $40 for it.
Yeah.
You know. Pay $10 for a little, a little game that someone put a lot of work into, and enjoy. So, I don't know. It's just, It's a whole different culture behind the handheld right now, and I have to get behind that.
Fucking Papers, Please. I've been playing that shit for 3 weeks, and that was like $5, and that's it. But you know, it's like one of the best games I played. It's addictive, you know.
So, yeah.
You get addicted to strange things.
Have you played Papers, Please, though? Have you played it, Giuseppe?
No, I refuse to.
What did he say?
He refuses to.
No, you have to play it.
The third thing in the trifecta, or the hat trick, as I called it, is the price cut.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, again, the memory cut could have been a lot better. Obviously, we know that flash memory, especially at those capacities, is a lot cheaper when you're talking about like regular SD cards or whatever, but Sony going proprietary for their own reasons kind of gets the price a little higher than normal. They obviously jack it up because there's a lot of money to be made in accessories.
Yeah.
But listen, any savings is a good savings. And again, you're going to get those retailers like Amazon, like Costco, like Walmart, that are going to go way below that MSRP. So, you know, a 32 gig that might have cost you $90 on special, you're going to be finding them for $70, $60 on sale. So that's not bad, man. It's not bad at all. Right? And the other thing, if you're listening to this podcast and you were on the fence on a Vita, every bundle is $199 right now in the United States. So if you find those bundles that have like a game and an 8 gig card and they're a 3G model, it's $199. Jump on it.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like, they're selling the 3G one at the same price with the why I don't get this one.
It could be a move to just move inventory. Maybe they do have a smaller SKU, a lighter SKU coming out.
Yeah.
You know, so whatever it is, all I'm saying is that if you see those bundles that have like all the extra bonuses, and you were sitting on the fence, grab a bundle.
Yeah.
Quick.
Or was there's still that bundle that had PlayStation Plus too, where it had like a couple months of PlayStation Plus? Because that was an awesome deal too.
Yeah, that's a good bundle.
There's the bundle that has the year of PlayStation Plus. I think Walmart has that one.
That would be awesome.
$199.
Yeah.
You know, so there's bundles out there that you have to make
that's
sure.
That's almost just the whole value of the bundle. How much is it? How much is the year of PlayStation Plus?
$50. $50 for the year.
And the free games you get for the year just pay for itself.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So it's, I mean, it's very enticing right now.
I have a Vita already.
it's pretty enticing right now. So I'm looking for that ice white one. So if anyone knows anybody in the Staten Island or New Jersey area, let me know if you see any bundles out there.
eBay, dude.
Yeah.
I don't trust guys on eBay. Guys like Giuseppe.
Fuck you.
I'm joking, Giuseppe.
For no reason.
I know, I just threw him in there. I love you, Giuseppe.
I think I'm going to write an editorial on Joel tomorrow.
Are you going to review Joel?
You can review me if you want. You want to unbox me, baby? You want to come over?
Yeah, sure.
5 hours. Yeah,
no, I'm going to box you, not unbox you.
The featured image of the
That's some real boxing for you.
Very odd box. What's the next thing on the agenda?
I actually meant put him into a box and
put
him somewhere remote, like I don't know, North Pole or Timbuktu or.
It just got real.
It just turned to a casket match, honestly.
The featured image will just be a burning PlayStation Vita with Joel's face on it, just on the screen.
Should have listened to me.
Told you so.
Yeah, no, I mean, if they announce that bundle, I mean, I guess Tokyo Game Show is like the next time they really announce anything big for the Vita.
Actually, they have a conference on September the 9th.
Oh, they do? The 9th?
Japan, yeah.
Oh, okay. All right.
9-9, which is actually when they're probably going to announce that the next Yakuza games for PS4.
Yeah. That makes more sense. It's right before
March. Tokyo Game Show that week?
No, Tokyo Game Show is like 2 weeks later, or 1 week later, something like that. It's actually interesting. I'm pretty interested to see if the PS4 is going to make this year for Japan, because that's probably when they're going to announce their release date for the PS4 as well, in Japan.
Oh yeah, for Japan, yeah.
Yeah.
Or get ready for that bundle, Ryan.
I don't know if they can make it in like 3 months. Well, the other thing that in Japan they don't release an easy like releasing stuff at the like last few days of December. Why that's basically impossible here.
Right.
So we'll see.
Alright, what's the next piece in the agenda here?
Well, one of the things that we were going to talk about was the Grand Theft Auto 5 leak. And I just wanted to ask you guys.
Don't fucking say anything about that leak. I swear to God, I'll hang up and I'll go to sleep.
This is all I want to know, is why would they put that like as a pre-download, knowing that some of these vultures out there would just pick it apart?
Probably an accident.
Yeah, I mean, probably it was an accident, or they didn't think that would, you know, just didn't think it would happen.
That's probably totally random. Like,
sometimes
files get into a package and they don't notice, you know?
Don't they usually have games as pre-downloaded? I thought that was, like, just a normal thing for any game, or no?
Not on PSN.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Oh, well. All right. Never mind.
Yeah, you still have to wait until the game unlocks at midnight of its release.
Yeah.
I mean, preloading in theory is a great idea. I mean, that's why I love Steam half the time.
Wait, the digital pre-order on PSN downloads the title for you and then unlocks?
In Europe, they were kind of testing out this preload thing, and then people
were backfired.
Yeah, but it backfired because then it was like, oh wait, I technically have the full game on my PS3. Right. Let me just dive into these files and see what I can find.
Yeah.
So you know, the soundtrack. You know, people were able to figure out the soundtrack. Apparently, names of files were able to give away.
Yeah, there was also some storyline and ending stuff, I think that got leaked as well.
So I guess all
like whispers it's a draw.
Yeah.
Bastards. What was the question that Dave was gonna pose in this segment though? We were talking about
I was gonna ask like why did that happen, but for some reason I thought that they just have pre-downloaded games. But of course not. But the other thing is, and this is like a general thing too, because I see this with a lot of things, TV and film and whatnot, is that why do we seek out spoilers? Why do you think people do that?
I don't know.
What is the allure of spoiling shit for yourself?
For a very simple fact, because it brings it to your side. That's why people do it.
No, he's saying like, why do people go seeking them out? Not like writers, not like publishers, like people in general.
Just people that want to play the game.
Writers put them under the nose and they buy it.
Wait, what?
If someone puts a spoiler under your nose and that's something that you really, really, really are interested in, you buy it.
I don't think that's necessarily true, because you know, I'm one of those people who actively avoids spoilers for games.
Yeah.
Well, because you actually avoid it, but you know, you're the exception.
That's what I'm saying, is though, why is Jorge the obsession? Like the exception.
Because people are obsessed about certain games.
One of my coworkers is like this, where we're always talking about like shows that we watch, like this. So this is not game related, but we always talk about like different TV shows that we watch and like. I'll be like a couple episodes ahead, and he'll be like, "Tell me what happens," and I'm like, "No, man, just fucking go watch it."
And
he's like, "I'm gonna watch it anyway," and I'm like, "What?"
It doesn't make any sense. Yeah,
I don't understand.
I think part of it just that like that curiosity.
Because people are curious. There are titles that they're really really interested about, and they want to, like for instance, personally, I spoil most of the endings of the games I'm curious about because I simply don't play it if the ending sucks. Because I don't want to waste my time on a game that I know it's going to disappoint me.
Well, okay, let me ask you two questions. First of all,
we're not talking about the Mass Effect 3 ending. Fuck you, Dave.
I'm not talking about that. One, why, like, isn't the surprise, doesn't it make it more enjoyable when you're surprised? And two, isn't it better to experience the ending in its context rather than right off from what you read?
No. I don't care.
Oh, okay. Well, that's your answer.
So I think for TV shows and movies, absolutely. But when it comes to like video games, I can side with Giuseppe.
Now, hold on. If someone like emailed me the ending of Breaking Bad, I would probably like find them and kill them. Cold blood.
Yeah, sure you would.
Oh, Breaking Bad is serious business.
Well,
Somebody ruins that for me? No.
No. Well, that's what I'm saying. No. I agree. No, I 100% agree with you.
Yeah.
I mean, I agree with, like, TVs and movies, but I can see, I can definitely understand Giuseppe's angle from, like, understanding, from, like, getting the ending. Because, honestly, like, because it's funny, I didn't want you to bring up the Mass Effect 3 thing because I wanted to bring it up. Everyone got so upset about that. Everyone got so upset about that, right? But, like, in Giuseppe's case, Giuseppe will watch the ending of the game, and then if it does appeal to him, then he'll go and experience it. Because with video games, at least to me, and guys like Giuseppe, it is more about the journey than it is about, you know, getting to the end. So I can get how Giuseppe can say that about video games. I don't think it works in any other medium, though.
Well, sorry. I mean, I won't skip all the games that I don't like the ending of, you know. If the game is really, really strong, I will play it. But, you know, it does have an impact on my choice. Because I don't want to, like, spend, like, 20 hours in the game, 40 hours in the game, and then get there and say, fuck, really? Is this really how this all is going to end? Is this really how this character that I got invested into is going to get fucked up at the end? No, seriously, no.
Sorry, but isn't that the fun part of it all? Like... To me, I like total immersion. So it's like, hey, if you leave disappointed, that's just all part of the experience.
Yeah,
but I don't think that's intended by the developer. You know.
You can
leave sad. You can leave saddened, and that's one thing. Like, but if you leave disappointed, that's not really part of the experience.
Like there are certain endings, and I'm not going to discuss the details of the ending. But like BioShock Infinite, if you ruin that ending for somebody, they'll be fucking pissed. Like, I would be furious.
Yeah. Like, BioShock and The Last of Us this year.
The ending, by the way.
What happened?
I didn't really like the ending. I thought
did
it was overly
game?
Convoluted. Yeah, I thought it was overly convoluted. Sorry?
Yeah. Oh, like, I was...
Did you watch...
No, sorry, that one I actually finished.
Okay.
I that one was overly convoluted, honestly. I don't think it was a good idea to finish it that way. It was clever, you know, but it was one of those things that I call clever for the sake of being clever.
Yeah, but if you knew that, like, I guess that twist at the end in the beginning, wouldn't you think that just kind of dampens the whole experience?
Because you kind of know
what the twist is. So, like, you know, you'll be watching these one cutscenes, and you're like, well, this cutscene isn't really important because I already know what happens. So
yeah, it could for not... some. It really depends on your standpoint, on your mindset.
Yeah, like I'm
the kind of person that enjoys watching a movie several times, for instance, a movie that he likes.
Yeah.
I actually enjoy reading a book that I like several times. So the surprise is not part of my experience. It's not a big part of my experience.
But anyway, yeah, I was just going to say, like, with BioShock and Last of Us, like, I was just avoiding trailers and spoilers, like, the play, pretty much, because, like, I know I wanted to go into those experiences, like, you know, just fresh, and I didn't want to find out anything ahead of time. And actually, when Joel mentioned Mass Effect before, Mass Effect 3, like, I actually just played that earlier this year for the first time. I didn't get to play it last year when it came out. And, but I just wanted to say, like, I thought it was interesting because, like, after all the controversy last year with the ending and everything like that, just playing it, you know, after all that already happened, like a year after, I think, you know, I was still able to enjoy the experience even though I knew about, you know, the ending and the controversy around it, but I still thought I was able to enjoy it even though I already knew about all that.
If you're playing it this year, then you must have played it with the extended cut then.
Yes, right? I played it with all the DLC. So I played it with all the DLC and extended cut.
That ending's a little bit better, yeah, but the initial one
was,
oh boy.
Yeah, a lot better.
I got a question for you guys. So what do you guys do as far as, like, all right, let's talk about Grand Theft Auto. In, like, preparation for this game, what's your kind of, like, spoiler avoidance policy?
Total media blackout. No Twitter, no Facebook, fuck all you.
As soon as I see it in a tweet or a status, if I see GTAV, I'm looking for just the word trailer or screenshots. If I see anything else, I'm not reading that shit.
Yeah.
Considering that the stories of GTA games suck, I don't really think there is much to spoil there.
You know what? The Witcher 2 sucks, Giuseppe.
Yeah, sure.
Or 3. It's,
Witcher 3 sucks.
Yeah.
Sure it does.
I haven't played it yet.
At least it has a story worth of it.
Because you know that, because you played it. You played the whole thing.
No, I played every single Grand Theft Auto so far. So I thought about, I said Grand Theft Auto stories normally sucks. I don't know if Grand Theft Auto 5 story will suck.
Okay.
But if it is like the others, then it will.
I can't believe you.
He was doing so well until now, too, right?
I know.
What's good about the stories of the Grand Theft Auto game, besides the fact that they star some absolute assholes?
That's like, one of the best parts.
Okay, you get immersed with the story if it stars an asshole. I get it.
Not well. It doesn't have to have an asshole as a protagonist, but I like the protagonist for these games. I mean, the only one I couldn't really get into was San Andreas, but the other ones.
Personally,
yeah,
the only decent story of a Grand Theft Auto game that for me was the Ballad of Gaetani. The other ones was and that was decent, like barely decent. The others was like, really? Is this guy really this stupid? Come on.
There's no pleasing just happening.
It's just it's like he's just beyond saving at this point. I can't.
Like when you play Grand Theft Auto 4 and you play Niko Bellic, okay, and he goes around behaving like a total train wreck, and you say, "What the fuck?"
Because he wanted like revenge. Is that what you're referring to?
Every single time he took a decision, I was there, and said, "Really?"
But which decision? Because you're
making.
Does this
guy have a brain?
Are you talking about like when you're talking about like choosing to kill people? Because you're the one making that decision. Which one are you talking about?
You didn't have basically any control over any decision in that game besides one.
When you would
you had a couple. You had one in the beginning, with that boss from that mob boss. Then you had Playboy X or killing the other guy. Then you had there was like four or five decisions throughout that game.
Yeah, it was really irrelevant. The only one that was relevant was the one deciding the ending.
Mass Effect had 6 years worth of decisions. They didn't mean shit in the end.
which is the problem. Which is exactly the problem.
Like, I know personally, just with like Grand Theft Auto 5 especially, because it has the three protagonists and the way that they're kind of switching up the story in this one, like, I know I really want to try to avoid spoilers because I want to see what Rockstar is going to do differently this time. Just
probably nothing.
I love their games. I know they have been kind of similar the last couple games, like, you know, Red Dead and Grand Theft Auto and all that. So, you know, I'm just curious because I want to see how they switch things up this time.
I don't know. The three characters they have look stupid like the other ones. So.
Red Dead was amazing, and you can't
get
away from that.
Yeah, Red Dead was good, which is so
it was.
That means that they actually can write characters with a brain.
It's pretty much. I mean, it's the same guy writing the script.
Which means that he actually can write people with the brain, which is amazing, considering the Grand Theft Auto games.
I think the big problem, I guess, when we talk about Grand Theft Auto 4 was the story didn't make sense with like the amount of violence that your character was committing. So
it was
like,
very.
They were trying to make Niko Bellic be very like you make you know very sympathetic character.
Yeah,
but you can't really feel bad for him after we just killed like 50 cops robbing a bank.
The storyline was just inconsistent, I felt, at times. Like, the story wanted you to do things...
The game.
Yeah, the story made you do things that the character may not necessarily have done, or
the dating,
how
you... The dating and the hanging
and
out...
And theoretically, you were supposed to like Roman, but...
Every time that fucker called me to play pool, I'm like, dude, just leave me alone.
He was probably the most annoying character in the video.
Hey, cousin!
it's your cousin, Roman. You want
cousin,
to go bowling?
You.
let's go to the strip club.
Honestly, I think if they actually allowed me to kill Roman at the beginning of the game, I would have it. I would have done it. Because I don't think I remember a more annoying character than Roman ever.
It was just
in any
game.
I
hated that whole thing in general, where you had people calling you to fucking go play pool or
hang
bowling
out,
and shit.
Yeah.
Like, I'm if I don't hang out with you a few times, like in real life, you're not gonna stop being my friend. It's just like, dude, I'm busy. So just leave me alone.
The funny thing is that
not unless you
Western
don't go
Western journalists have a big thing against sexism at the moment. But
yeah, what the hell is this about? I'm like, this is like another.
Wait.
Yeah, that's like about an hour.
I think Grand Theft Auto 4 is probably one of the most sexist games ever. Because I don't think you can depict a woman in a more stupid way that the game does. Like, every single woman in the game is an idiot. If you look at it, all the women that Nico dates, they're depicted in an extremely sexist way. Like, extremely. I'm surprised that, like, journalists gave it the pass.
It's okay, it's not developed in Japan.
That's what I was thinking.
That's what it is. I haven't played the game in, like, four years. Didn't play so honestly, I don't even remember. I know one of them, she was like a nurse or something. She was in basically like their equivalent of the Bronx. And I just remember thinking, like, the women that live here, they the really Latina, the accent. Latina, yeah, no, her accent was, like, really spot on in terms of, like, Latino women here in New York. But
really? Are they really like that?
The not accent all of amazing, them, yeah. But
do they call you Poppy certain as well?
Poppy? Oh, yeah. That's not, yeah, no. That's
kind of disturbing for me, but that's okay.
No, seriously, yeah. Mommy, Poppy, they say it, trust me.
Okay, that's a bit disturbing, but that's okay. Sorry, you know. In that kind of thing, being called Poppy for me is like, really?
I just want to put Giuseppe in Washington Heights and just see what happens.
Well, American people always talk about motherfucking, so you know that's something.
That's why.
I don't know. You people have something for your parents. I never understand that.
Well, that's what Freud said, you know.
Yeah, that's very Freudian thing.
All right.
I don't know. Well, I think that, like, what Ryan said with three characters, I think we're going to see something a little bit better from Rockstar this time around. Maybe something that'll be up to Giuseppe's standards.
Or three times worse.
Jesus Christ.
I'm just looking up at the ceiling right now. It's like, I can't even deal with this.
I don't know. They know how to make it like a likable character, because Red Dead Redemption demonstrated that. The problem is that do they want to?
Not every protagonist has to be likable. No.
Yeah. Okay. Not every protagonist has to be likable, but when they all aren't likable, that can be a problem.
Well, no, because even then, it. I think what you were getting at before made more sense. If you want to make a character who is trying to be, you know, righteous or moral, then you can't have his actions be contradictory to that, because then
you don't need to have it moral or righteous, because there is a lot of characters out there that aren't moral or righteous at all.
Of course, yeah,
they are still likable in a way.
Right. I think John Marston in Red Dead proves that, because he did some horribly violent things, but he was still really likable, and he had some noble purposes because he was, you know, going for his family and everything.
You can still, you know, connect the character even if he's not righteous or not moral or whatever, if he's likable. Being likable and being moral or righteous are two different things.
Okay, why does the main character have to be likable? Why? I mean, there are, you know, games where the main character's actions are questionable and whatnot, and you might end up not, like, rooting for them. You know, just because they're the main character. Huh?
Because I don't like to play a brainless, stupid asshole.
I understand that, but maybe you end up rooting for the other characters, whoever else is involved.
Basically, at every corner you're playing and shooting people and hoping that someone finally kills you.
Shit, yeah, I'd play that game.
Well, I mean, you know, there is Breaking Bad to look at, and Grand Theft Auto V looks like it's going to be taking a lot from Breaking Bad. Yeah. So that
I was actually thinking, I was thinking, and Ryan, I like that you brought that up, because I was thinking a lot about that too.
Yeah.
They basically, like, okay, they went from, you know, what they say is Mr. Chips to Scarface.
To Scarface, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, at this point, it's hard to root for Walt. Same thing in Scarface. I mean, personally, I don't like Scarface. But it's like, again, it's like, do you really, is Tony Montana really a likable person?
No.
Yeah. So that's all I'm saying. I mean, yeah, he's the main character, but you don't have to like them.
Yeah.
They don't have to be likable.
in the case of Breaking Bad, yeah, I mean, like, Walter started off extremely sympathetic in the beginning, but then, you know, after the drugs and the money kind of got to his head, he lost what, you know, lost sight of everything he was going for in the first place.
Yeah, he's practically a supervillain in the show.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, he is the antagonist, pretty much.
Spoilers.
Yeah.
that's not so bad. Well, but yeah.
Well, it's funny you guys mentioned, like, likable assholes, but, like, you know, we were talking about Saints Row earlier. Your main character, the President of the United States, is a flaming asshole.
but he's still likable.
Yeah, he's very likable, and I don't know if it's just maybe just because of its good writing. It's just a guy who just revels in just being a total ass. And I think maybe the good, and
then, which is what makes the game enjoyable between other things.
Hmm. Yeah, or I mean, even something like, I know, like, I always had problems with God of War with Kratos, just because they just beat you over the head with that over and over again. Like,
yeah,
okay,
I don't like God of War for that.
Yeah,
get over it. Your family's dead.
My parents are dead.
Yeah, they are. Go fucking hit the brick, you moron. Come on! Kratos is the most stupid
character. You
want
to say it's
the
Batman's face?
My God. I mean, even the Batman broods over it less than Kratos.
You just reminded me, Joel. Yeah, that's another thing. Fucking Batman is a dick in Arkham City. And yeah, I had trouble actually liking him in Arkham City. He was a fucking asshole. He was the bat dick. I mean, the way he treats Robin when he shows up, you know. Hmm. Hey, Robin.
Yeah, you're a Robin
fanboy.
We know that.
Oh no, well, Dick Grayson.
Like,
I
think you I think you actually masturbate in front of Robin's posters.
Why do you say that?
Because you're like every time there is a news about Robin's, you're there drooling or something like that.
I mean, yo,
Dick, oh my God, Robin's in Narcos Origin.
Look,
Robin is there.
He's a fetching man. Nightwing lately is pretty good.
Nightwing's pretty good. Yeah, I've been reading the Nightwings.
Yeah. And Dick Grayson's, you know, like, come on. How you not love Dick?
Yeah, you sure love Dick.
Wow. On that note.
Total dickhead. But no, I know, like, seriously, I thought Batman, like, was a dick in Arkham City.
No, really. I thought Robin was the dick.
How is he dick? He shows up, he says, I can help you, and Batman says no. It's like, dude, are you serious?
He's literally dick.
Well, actually, that wasn't Dick Grayson in Arkham City. It was
Tim really? Oh, well, I'm not an expert.
It was Tim Drake. But, yeah. No, okay, so I think it's about time we get into what we're playing before we talk more about dicks. Joel, what are you playing?
This week, I'm playing Zombies Ate My Friends on my Nexus 7.
Enjoy before it while it lasts, right?
Before you're actually trading it in for a Vita?
I'm not going to trade it in. No, like I said, the Vita will be mine.
You should go full circle and just trade it in. To make amends for your mistake.
No.
What's your first Vita game going to be?
That I'm not sure yet, because I'm getting, like, some really good suggestions in the comments. I don't know if you noticed. There's a lot of comments, and everyone's...
He doesn't like JRPG, so you can get the best Vita game that there is around.
Soul Survivor, right? I should play Soul Survivor, right?
No.
What game? Persona?
Persona 4.
I don't know.
My suggestion was going to be the Walking Dead bundle, if you haven't played it already.
Yeah, that would be good.
Is,
like, is there someone that still didn't play The Walking Dead on some platform still?
I think
Walking Dead came out of basically everything.
It's coming out for Ouya as well.
I've heard Hotline Miami is supposed to be really good on Vita too. That seems like a game that'd be perfect for Vita, since the missions are fairly short unless you die a lot.
Mm-hmm. I die a lot.
Murder Public is great.
Yeah.
I'm picking up Soul Survivor. Soul Sacrifice is a game everyone's telling me to pick up.
Yeah.
What the hell else? Now, there's a bunch of lists in the comments.
What about
I'm gonna
you said you wanted the white one, right? The white Vita?
Yeah.
So
that usually comes with AC3, right?
Yeah.
But I don't want to. I don't know how I feel about AC3, man.
What? Because she's black? Is that why?
I have no idea.
Is that why?
That's exactly it, Dave. Thank you. You've just outed me on the show in front of all these people. That's it. No, I don't know. I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that game in particular. Mm. But again, I am a PlayStation Plus subscriber, so I can also go online. It's free to me, free from me.
And they still have options are Uncharted and Gravity Rush for free, right? Yes, no.
Uncharted I played when I had the Vita back in the day, so okay. Maybe I should finally end up playing Gravity Rush, even though I wasn't feeling the demo. Maybe I should actually play it.
Well, it's free, so
it's right? Free. I can't go wrong, right?
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
All right, Ryan, what are you playing?
Well, I've been away most of the summer, so I've kind of just been adjusting back to real life. But anyway, I did actually just finished. I played Gone Home on Sunday. So I played that on Steam, and I loved it. I thought it was awesome.
Same here.
And especially, it's really short, so you know, I would definitely recommend. You know, if you guys get a chance to play it, it's really, really good. I loved it a lot.
Jorge, what are you playing?
What am I playing? Oh, I've completely did everything I could in Saints Row 4.
100%? Loved it.
I'm like 80 something or so.
Oh, okay.
Wow, that's a lot.
There's just some collectibles I just don't want to do. I haven't found all the audio logs, and I haven't looked at I wasn't cheating. I was like, I can do this on my own. And at some point, I just like, you know what? I don't really care. I don't have to prove this to anyone except myself. So I decided just to go to bed.
That's what I said when I think Giuseppe, you did this. Or somebody I know found like all 400 Riddler trophies in Arkham City with no guide, and I'm just like, I don't know.
Well, that guy's a maniac, and that's
that was crazy. Giuseppe, what are you playing?
Is he here?
Yeah, I see him, but I guess he's not here.
He might have fallen asleep.
I'm here. Oh, okay. when you join a room with too many people, turns off your microphone automatically for some reason. Oh, okay. And I got kicked and I came back in. So I'm playing Final Fantasy 14, and I've been playing a lot with Sony Vegas to make the freaking movies, the freaking clips from Gamescom. No, I know it's not a game, but still. What else? Actually, that's pretty much it. Yeah. I've been playing a little bit of Killer is Dead.
I've been playing. Oh, okay. I thought you were done.
I think that's actually pretty much it. I just got the review code for Project Eve, but I still didn't play it. So I will see that. But that's pretty much it.
All right. I've been playing Papers, Please. That's it.
Okay.
Run that game to the ground. All right. So. That's the Shotcast, episode 140. I think PAX Prime starts later this week, right?
The 30th.
Okay, yeah. So, yeah, we'll definitely be talking about that next week. until then, I am David Rodriguez, and with me was Giuseppe Nelva.
Bye.
Joel Tavares.
Bye-bye.
Ryan Meitzler.
Goodbye.
And Jorge Jimenez.
I wanted to do the ending for Soul Train, but I forgot what he says. So, love, peace, and soul.
That's why I left you for last. All right, take care, everybody.